The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with my new, I was going to say BFF, but she's Canadian, so we can't really be best friends. My new associate who I have no negative feeling towards, I guess we could introduce her as. First of all, she's got an X. Her name is Chloe Prue, and it's spelled with an X. So I don't even know the freaking French. You can't trust them, not as far as you can throw them. And I'm married to a French chick, so I know they're the worst. Anyway, this amazing, lovely human being that came onto my podcast, apparently willing to be abused, started Dust Bunny Cleaning September 2021. She is serving residential folk in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, which is weird because we say like Phoenix, Arizona. Like we're so America-centric, we don't put the USA on the end because like everyone knows where we're from. Like this is an important country for God's sakes. But I guess if you lived in Canada, you'd have to be like, it's in Canada, because everyone's like, huh, never heard of it. But you know, you say San Francisco, people are like, yeah, I'm aware. It's an adult city with, you know, real humans. So, all right, I told Chloe I wanted to get the Canadian abuse off like early so we could start coaching. But now I'm feeling it's probably gonna be a theme, so it'll be early, often throughout. And again, she's Canadian, so her only response was, oh, I'm sorry, hey, like I'll try to be better, which is great. See, she's just taking the abuse. Gotta love our Canadians. Chloe, what's shaking your world, young lady?
Oh, you know, just another day.
Just another day getting yelled at by an American. What are you gonna do?
Pretty cold over here, so.
Yeah, so you guys do it in Celsius. Do you know what it is in Fahrenheit over there?
I have no idea, but I think it's pretty cold today. I'm looking at, I think, minus 15, which I have no clue what it is in Fahrenheit. But
you had me at minus, like, I'm good. And it's funny, she's wearing a little short sleeve shirt. She's got a big smile. Like, even if I was indoors, I would have an angry face. I would be covered in all sorts of things. I'd be furious with life. Yeah, I'm looking out over the mountain, sun. And now it's only 55 degrees, which I know sounds warm to you, but in Fahrenheit, that's not chilly. But anyway. We're good. All right. So what's going on in your world? How can I help you, young lady?
Well, I mean, I am currently the only person in my company. So I am the only cleaner and salesperson, marketing, not accounting. My dad's actually helping me with that. So I'm really lucky on that end. But I'd really like to get out of cleaning. And so I'd like to get a little bit of help. I'm not sure what type of people I'm looking for, because I think that I'm not looking for skills specifically, because I think cleaning is it's a very teachable skill. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of wanted to get some direction on that. I do have a couple of, I have an ad up on Indeed right now, but I think it's a little bit too structured. I think we're looking for, again, I was kind of looking for skills at the beginning, but I think that I'm going to be looking more for the type of person, if you will. So I was just kind
I'm
of
American,
looking.
For, so I won't. okay, so let's do this. We have done many, many podcasts on how to get out of cleaning. So I'm just trying to think of a kind of an interesting way to do it that people that have heard some of those are like, oh, I don't want to hear this again. I mean, it's frustrating because a lot of people still are cleaning and they're still frustrated, but you know, maybe you've even lost, not you, Chloe, but some of the audience like lost hope. Like I've heard all the podcasts, I'm still in. And by the way, without like a hard sales pitch, I want to encourage all of you guys. The reason we started kind of doing, because we started with a podcast and that's all we had. And I wrote a book. We added our kind of 9-week course because I met so many freaking people that listen to the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I love the podcast. It's great. My life has changed. I'm like, awesome. How's your life? And they tell me, I'm like, how was it when you started the podcast? It's the exact same. Nothing has changed. So I promise you I'll do my best. Chloe won't. She's Canadian. She's terrible. But I will do my best to make sure that you guys get what you need. But for probably 95% of the population, you're going to need a mentor, a coach, a help, someone to like hold your hand and really walk you through it. So find that. And if it's us, and just so you guys know, we get hundreds of applications a month. We'll take a dozen or so. So we're not looking for everybody. So don't, this isn't a sales pitch. If it's not us, that doesn't mean if we don't take, find someone that you can get a coaching from. So the reason I say that is opposed to what I typically do is just kind of give some general information on how to do that.
what we typically don't do is I'll just, if you're okay with it, Chloe, I'll just do a live coaching. Like you were a client, like you were coming to me, and that way we can kind of hear people. Cause a lot of it, like you mentioned, Chloe, is really how you think about it. You're like, at first I was thinking I wanted this type of person. Now I'm thinking I want that type of person. So we get caught up sometimes in the, what do I do? And what should the words say in my Indeed ad? And should it be an Indeed or Craigslist or Facebook or whatever the case may be? And that's all important, but the beliefs and stuff are what change you. So are you okay if I just, we kind of coach you like it was just private and I was just doing the best I can helping Chloe as opposed to Cleaning Nation?
For sure. Yeah, no problem.
Cool. So first and foremost, let's start with, I think you said you started in September. We're in January. So 3, 4, 5 months. When you started, was your intent always to not be cleaning, or is that a new discovery?
Well, I actually started by myself on in July, just kind of a side hustle. And then people started coming to me because I have a relatively large network, if you will. So people just started coming to me, just even seeing like a small thing on Instagram that I was cleaning houses. So it started to get kind of out of hand, and it soon became, I wasn't actually planning to start a cleaning company, but then I've always wanted to be in business. So I figured, okay, I could make this into my business. So obviously, that being said, I would like to be able to work on my business and not in my business. I know you've said this in your podcast many times, but yeah. So now essentially,
you know, the old saying, it's not true until a Canadian says it. So even though I've said on the podcast many times, it really didn't mean anything. Cause you know, now that a Canadian from, you know, Ontario, Ottawa said it, now it's, you know, now it's the world can absorb it. All right. So, and by the way, for those of you on the podcast, Chloe's got a lovely smile. It's great. You got to check out the YouTube. Every time I make her laugh, it's great. It's a good look on. You should smile all the places you go. Everyone will like you. It'll be fantastic. I mean, Canadians, obviously Americans don't fall for that crap, but other Canadians will be, you know, enchanted by your smile. So you're not there. Okay. So let's start right in with that. What Chloe just said is very, very common. Having personally coached like one-on-one hundreds, probably thousands of owners, that is very common. So a lot of you out there probably in this theme of, and I'm going to kind of come back to coaching you and like contextualize it for Cleaning Nation and come back to you. This theme, and this will help you as well, because a lot of times we're like, is that weird? Is that normal? What's good? You know, we don't know how to like compare like our progress. Are we sure, you know, how are we compared to other people? So this will help you as well. The incidence of, you know, I just started this thing as a side hustle and I didn't really try to market very much and everything's kind of repeat and referral. And it got out of hand. It got overwhelming. I've got a waiting list. I wasn't able to keep up is probably 65%, certainly on the residential side, maybe 80% on the residential side, maybe like 50% overall is very common. So the good news is that's great. Anytime you can be in a business where it's fairly easy to get customers, that's really good. But there's some embedded things in there that aren't great that we don't see. And I want to make sure Cleaning Nation and Chloe that you see those, you're like, okay. And they're not deal breakers. It's not the end of the world, but we can ignore them and not recognize them as problems. And then we don't identify, we don't deal with them because we don't even recognize their problems. And then we stay stuck. So first of all, most people certainly by themselves can clean 2 houses a day. And right now we're kind of speaking residential because we're coaching Chloe here. Don't check out any commercial. A lot of these concepts will be the same, but most people can clean 2 houses a day. If you only, are you doing 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week?
Right now it's 5 days. So mostly 5 days. I mean, I'm willing to do weekends, but I haven't really had.
That's the next thing. We start with 5 days. I'm like, sometimes Saturdays. Okay. Sometimes Saturdays and Sundays. And they kind of go back and forth. So I love that. I would encourage you to keep that boundary of just not that your company can't be different, but Chloe, for God's sakes, let's just do you for 5 days. And is this your full-time gig now? You said it started as a side hustle. Is this now your full deal?
Yeah, it is now. It's I'm fully focused on just that. I was a bartender before as well, and now I'm just fully cleaning.
Cool. Which is good that you're fully this, but not good that you're fully cleaning. You know, so we got one more step to make until you're free, and we don't have to get into the details of money. But is it generally paying your bills?
Yeah, it is actually. I'm doing great with that, so it's no stress for me for now, at least with that. But I mean, I'd like to eventually. The thing is, I've gone into some health problems recently. Like I hurt my wrist not long ago, for example. So I wasn't able to clean for 2 weeks. So that was like a really stressful time for me. So that just kind of forged the fact that I need to have something that can run without me necessarily physically being there. So unfortunate event, but at the same time, you know, necessary event to sort of push me a little bit towards the hiring process.
And good that you got, I shouldn't say good, but many people don't get that for 5 or 10 years in, and then it's devastating. So I'm glad that, not glad that you hurt your wrist, but I'm glad it got you to the point you're at quicker, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the commonalities through Chloe's theme are, I do it all myself. I start as a side hustle. It pays my bills. I'm guessing you're not rich. You're not meeting your financial goals. You're not putting away retirement, whatever you wanted to do. This is not meeting that, but yeah, you're homeless, which is the worst, because if we couldn't make money to pay our own bills, cleaning, and like we were going to be homeless or something, we'd get out quicker. But because we're like, it's so easy, I never have to advertise, blah, 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 blah. It's like, if it was terrible, no one would do it. It's good, but not great in life, in business, not just in this scenario. Oftentimes we have to give up good to get great. So when it's bad, it's no problem to give up. Like, I'm assuming whatever the bartending was, I'm sure it had its charm, but obviously there was things about it you didn't love because you're not doing it anymore. So
exactly.
If it was better, you might be 40 going, oh, I got to get out of this bar. You know what I'm saying? And for those of you who can't see, Chloe is a very young woman.
Thank you.
Well, if you're young, you won't care. If you're old, you're like, oh my God, thank you. So, and I'm 47. So I guarantee you, however young you are, you're freaking young. You might think you're old. I'm like, oh, you're an embryo. So get used to that. Enjoy the youth while it lasts, for crying out loud. So because bartending was bad enough, she got out of it. The problem is with getting clients fairly easily, being able to pay our bills, maybe even a little more, especially if we're younger and don't have like a family and things, or we're, you know, we have dual income, you know, whatever. It's just good enough to freaking get by, which sucks because you can get stuck in it for decades and decades and decades. So that's the first thing, is we don't recognize how big of a shift. So say, doesn't even matter. Let's just say you make $4,000 a month. Typically it's somewhere between 2,500 and like 5,000-6,000, depending on what part of the country and blah, 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 blah. Let's just say you make $4,000 a month and your bills are 3,600, whatever, they're close. So you've got a couple hundred bucks extra, whatever, everything's fine. People don't understand the difference between making $4,000 a month cleaning 40 hours a week. I'm guessing you're probably spending another 20 hours a week buying, fiddling with rags, dealing with customers, going on bids, billing, blah, blah, blah. We all know the garbage, right? So we're working 50, 60 hours a week. We're paying our bills effectively. You know, when you're young and dumb, you can be like, I could do this forever. And Chloe, you're young and smart. So you're like, I don't want to do this forever. But you probably could, right? And you haven't, say you hadn't hurt your wrist. You're young and, you know, you look small, but strong. You could probably do it anyways, right? So we kind of settle for that. And then we wake up, it's been 5 years or 10 years. And I've had people that have been clean for 40 years. And like, I was so loyal. My clients love me forever. Now they're just throwing me out because I'm old, and it's the saddest thing ever. So the difference between paying your bills, and we get excited because, you know, as a bartender, I'm guessing you had to ask your boss, can I be off? When do I have to work? I could deal with drunk people. Tips are good. There's a lot of things are out of your control that you didn't close, like deal with them. I was a drunk person. It was fantastic. you didn't have control, right? You kind of had asked permission to do, can I go to the bathroom? Maybe it wasn't that bad, but she's not. And so she's like, yeah, I didn't feel in control of my own life. So because it's such a step up to have that control, we get in love with it, which is awesome. I want you to feel that empowerment. But again, it's just good enough where we're like, I'm working hard. Many of the people we get, and I don't know if this is your situation or not, Chloe, but I'm working more hours than I worked before. I'm making less money, believe it or not, but I'd never go back. This is amazing. So Chloe's giving me a nod. So we're
happy. Yeah.
She doesn't understand the podcast part of this. She should give me,
sorry.
I'll explain to her after.
I don't want to interrupt you.
She's doing a lot of miming, which is really confusing, frankly. So we'll sort her out afterwards. You know, Canadian friend, she's doing the whole, like, you know, stuck in a box. It's very dismissive. We're trying to help her. She's miming at me. This podcast is going way off the rails. Okay. So the difference between, even if it's just 4,000 bucks a month and, or three or five, whatever it is for you, but that is like, it pays my bills, not a lot more. I'm fine. The difference between that and having to not be your own boss is huge. And a lot of times we'll settle for that. The problem is the difference between that and, holy crap, that money comes in every month, whether I break my wrist, whether I'm at the bar drinking as a patron, as opposed to a bartender, or whether I'm on the beach in Scottsdale, cause I'm not insane in Ontario. And my income is exactly the same. That is a far bigger shift. And I think because of the price is high to make that shift, it's scary. It's hard. Employees are going to quit. It's too much work. You have to set up systems. You have to believe in yourself. A young person like Chloe might be like, who's going to want to work for me? An old person might be like, oh, I don't, we just have all this crap we have to get through. And I think we don't reckon. And we're like, so what? Just so I make the same amount of money. And you can make a lot more, but I'm just saying the first step is to not make more money. It's to get out of cleaning and have this thing that pays your bill. And then effectively, believe it or not, you're retired, right? Let's say you only need $3,000 a month to live and you have $3,000 a month coming in from this business that you spend 0 to 12 hours a week managing. You're freaking retired, right? I don't know how old you are. Say you're in your 20s. It's a pretty nice place to be, right? We're like, holy heck, I literally, this is something I own for the rest of my life. I just maintain it. I'm good. And then obviously going to grow. Now, if you want to go, well, what am I going to make $10,000 a month? Because you have a whole 40 hours a week to work on your business as opposed to in it. So I just want to encourage you guys. The first thing is to understand the tectonic shift that takes place. A lot of times we see the prices high and it is. I wish I could tell you it was easy, cheap, not scary, all that stuff. It's not, it's all those things. You're gonna have to invest time and money and passion and step out of your comfort zone. But holy crap, once you make that transition, I'm talking months, by the way, our program is 9 weeks. Most of the time you can get done in that without us. I don't know how long it would take, but this isn't like 6 years. That's the other thing people tolerate. Like, I guess I'll just clean for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years and then I can stop. Like something magical happens. Nothing magical happens. Once you've been cleaning for 3 weeks, you know how to clean. There's nothing else to learn. So first step is what Chloe's done is like, you sound defiantly, I don't want to clean anymore. I'm out, right?
I'd like to, yeah. I think I'm good. I'd like to pass that on to someone else.
So again, there's a like to, which won't happen because it's too freaking hard. I'm telling you, you will set up a system. It won't work. You'll hire a guy that quits. Someone will steal something. People are nuts. So you really do have to get out of, I'd like to. It'd be super nice. I'd like to win the lottery. I'd like to have a lot more money. I'd like a lot of things, but I'd like to be an American, but you know, come on, be realistic. into I'm committed, I'm all in, whatever it's going to take. So you tell me, and my job is never to like pull you to your own success. It's to help you get clear on what kind of commitment level you have. So if the cost was lots of money, lots of time, lots of you developing faster and growing emotionally, mentally, and stepping way out of your comfort zone, doing things that are scary that pulled you and stretched you as a human, and that was scary and painful, uncomfortable. If that was the price, hint it is, are you willing to pay that price to get out of cleaning? And if you're like, well, how long? A couple months. If you really do it, it really shouldn't take more than a couple months to get out of cleaning forever.
Yeah, I mean, I totally do it. I've been getting out of my comfort zone to begin with, like going to clean someone's house. Someone else's house was out of my comfort zone to begin with. Yeah. And, you know, now I go there, I have no issues. I'm super confident with my work and all that. So it's not, I'm getting more and more comfortable to get out of my comfort zone. And every time I do, it feels great. So I'm very willing and ready to do that.
Cool. And I love that you have a reference point that you can anchor, like, hey, before, and it is weird going to someone's home and like, especially as a young lady, like, I don't know, I'm in some stranger's house and it's just a weird thing. And now you're like, it's a Tuesday. And I don't even give it, you know, before I was all uptight. Now it doesn't even faze me. That's excellent. Okay. So the next question I typically ask is what's the number one thing, we'll have to kind of stop here because we don't have so much time. What's the number one thing stopping you from cleaning in your perspective, or give me the top three in order.
And they from
can be
cleaning?
Internal, I'm sorry, from getting out of cleaning. And they can be internal beliefs, external, what you consider realities, but the number three, the top three problems that you feel like you have to solve, or the top three obstacles you have to overcome to be out of cleaning forever. And here's another trick. I'll give you, let you see around the corner in the future. Many people can get out for a little bit and like, okay, I'm out. As long as nobody quits and nothing happens, and I don't sell anything new. And then someone quits or they sell something new, something happens, they're back in. So when I say out of cleaning, I mean out of cleaning forever. Give me the top three fears, obstacles, roadblocks that are keeping you from getting out of cleaning.
Well, I mean, the first one obviously is that I don't know if I have enough clients to, have enough hours for cleaners, right? So that's something that's scary, but I have been sort of, anyways. So that's the first thing. The second thing would be, I guess, just having it, trusting other people in other people's houses. I mean, right now, you know, the people that I'm cleaning for, they trust me obviously in their house and all that. So it's to have somebody that would sort of have the same values as me and be as, you know, personable and a human, you know, in their houses. So that's something else too. So having someone else sort of carrying my brand and being an ambassador for my brand is a little bit scary. And the third one, my goodness, I'm trying to think, but I mean, obviously getting out of my comfort zone right now, cleaning, I'm like, I'm so good at it. I mean, not so good at it, but I feel good at it. So, I mean, starting to do other things that I might not be as good at the beginning would be a little bit scary for me, but I'm a fast learner. So I think I'd be able to do it.
So first of all, I love that. Let me repeat what you said so I can make sure I'm on the same page. One, you're afraid you don't have enough clients to keep other people busy. Two, you're afraid the employees won't do a good job and they'll tarnish your brand or your just how you're perceived in the marketplace.
Right.
And three, your reputation. Three, you know, you're now comfortable cleaning and you can clean with no problems, and hiring, doing all that stuff will cause you to do uncomfortable things. And you're like, I don't know if I'm ready to do all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, hopefully you notice all those are mostly internal, right? Like externally, Chloe just told us in a span of a month or two, I went from not having any clients, having all the clients I could possibly handle. So,
yeah, pretty much.
And I haven't really tried. So kind of if we, there's a head and the heart, right? And I think all of the stuff Chloe's dealing with is in her heart. And if we try and solve with the head, the heart's just going to go, nope, 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 nope. So Chloe's head could, yeah, I know this. And this is, you know, fact, you know, we're trying to, we can't solve Chloe's emotional fears with logical answers. So first and foremost, and again, this is why we have two full-time mindset coaches. It's not just the tactics, it's how you think. So I would encourage you to find a coach, whether it's us or not, to walk through some of these things, right? So you can listen to the podcast and get a lot of here's what to do and how to do it. But you're really probably gonna need someone like I'm doing the best I can in the time we have with Chloe one-on-one to walk you through how to think. So the really the cool thing is since, well, let me make sure we're on the same page. Would you agree, Chloe, the fears about clients, the fears about getting bad employees, and the fears of getting out of cover zone, 80 to 100% of that exists within you. They're not in the world.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
No judgment, no wrong answer. Like COVID exists in the world. How we respond to that exists in us. So there are things that exist in the world, but you, and there's no more right or wrong answer. Just whatever Chloe's beliefs and fears are her, that's what's going to hold her back. So someone else might go, that's stupid, and have no problems with that. But they got other hangups that Chloe could breeze right through. So I guess first and foremost, make sure you're committed to, I'm all into this getting out of cleaning, no matter the cost. Second, understand what's holding you back and don't judge it, right? Like Chloe could, you know, someone could come, that's stupid and you're just dumb and she, maybe you feel small and give up. But we're just going to go, these are my things. This is what I got to deal with. Some of them are external. That's one way to handle it. That would be mostly coaching on what to do and how to do it. Podcasts, books, things like that. There's internal, which is I probably need a mindset coach or a personal coach who can walk me through my feelings. I'm not an expert at that, but I'll do the best that I can in the time that we got. So I think the big first step for you, Chloe, is recognizing all this is not real, right? Like the government says we cannot be in people's homes. I'm not saying that's unovercomable, but it's a real thing that exists in the world that you don't get a vote on. You get to vote on how you respond to that, but they didn't call you and ask you your opinion, right? So that's an external issue. Now, how we respond is huge. You can, I'm not saying you can't be successful, but we just deal with external issues and internal issues very differently. So since all three of yours are internal, we can deal with them similarly. So what you're, and Anthony Robbins is great at talking about how all we do is go away from pain or perceived pain, believe it or not, and towards perceived pleasure. Everything we do is one of those things. So what you really are saying, or let me put words in your mouth, and you can go, no, Mike, you're not hearing me at all. Or you can go, oh, dang it, you got me. She's Canadian, so she's going to lie and say, I got her no matter what, but we'll try and get her to tell the truth. What you're really saying is I fear looking or feeling stupid when I tell someone I've got a job for them and there's not what they deem enough clients. Is that a fair representation or did I miss where you're at?
Actually, yeah, it is. Honestly, I fear just talking to an employee as an employer altogether. It's just, it's kind of scary.
So what she said, and this is such a good logical answer, and I've done this a couple of times so we can get to the what she's really feeling. What she said was, I'm afraid I won't be able to get enough clients, because that's a publicly acceptable answer, right? On a podcast with other people listening, no one's going to go, you dummy, clients aren't important. And if they did, she'd go, I know clients are important. So that's a pretty safe place to be. Opening up a little more and going, well, if I was really true, I'm afraid I'm going to look stupid in front of the employees. First, for I said I was going to hire you and pay you, and now look how dumb I look because I can't make payroll or I don't have enough jobs. Look how stupid they're going to expose me as the fraud that I am. And then I really appreciate you being open and honest and going, it's more than that. Just as a human being, and I get it. But so we can get it. How old are you, if I may ask? I know you're not supposed to ask ladies, but
I'm 27.
You really do look. For those of you who can't see, check out the she looks 28 for sure.
Oh, awesome! Thank you.
Yeah, no, you look great. I'm 47. When I was 27, I had a baby face. So I was very, I don't say uptight, but aware that I looked young. So I was, and that's why I'm picking on your age. Cause you might, if you feel like you look 22, that feels great on a personal level, but business, you're like, oh, who's going to want to work? I have the exact same. I'm going to hire adult men and women that have PhDs. I'm 22. I look like I'm six. Like, how's this going to work? So Okay. The cool thing is just when we kind of pull that out and go, okay, what I'm really afraid of is looking stupid. All of a sudden now we can deal with it with what it is and go, okay, is that a fear I'm willing to just walk into? Right. And there's things that you can do with telling the truth. So like if I were in your shoes, I would go, one of my core values is be real. So if I was going to hire you, I'd go, so Chloe, I know I look like I'm a kid and I don't have any experience. And I got to be completely honest with you, my first business, you're my first, third, whatever you are, employee, and I'm new. So we're going to have to learn this together. And if you want someone fancy that knows everything, this isn't the job for you. If you want a woman that's going to work hard and treat you fair and always be honest with you and screw up if you give me enough chances, then you might be in the right spot. Does that kind of give you the freedom to go, okay, now it sounds a little less scary, right? As opposed to, hey, everybody, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I know everything. You can all trust me. I'm your faithful leader. Let's go. That's scary. If you're like, I don't know if I'm any of those things. So just giving yourself permission out loud in front of them, would that be enough to make you go, okay, now I can, it's still scary, but now it's a doable scary as opposed to undoable scary.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, it's if I try to be too much like an assertive employer, then I feel like I have imposter syndrome, which is not good for my self-confidence or anything like that. So I think that what you're saying is actually, it makes a lot of sense just to sort of be a little bit more myself, I guess, and to, like you said, be more real. So I'd like to do that. But my main fear with that is to not be taken seriously and for people to think that they can literally walk all over me because of that. You know what I mean? Because I'm actually a very nice person. And obviously that is not always great for business. But at the same time, I get a lot of, you know, for client base, it's been great because they trust me because of that, you know? So it's just kind of to find a balance.
All that's great. But you said one thing that you stated as a fact, and it's not a fact, it's not even the truth. You know, I'm a really nice person and that's obviously not good for business. Like, what are you talking about? No one wants to work for a psychopath. So I would flip that script and say, the fact that I'm a nice person is going to be really attractive to nice people. And I only want nice people to work with me. And in some circumstance, am I going to have my employees take advantage of me? Yeah, I just am, right? If you're like, oh, I'll just be a hard ass and mean to everybody. And you won't, you just, let's be honest, right? So I think part of it is you're setting expectations that are unreasonable for yourself. And because you can't meet them, you're like, therefore I can't go forward. I'm going to encourage you to set reasonable expectations. And if you just told person, hey, so say I look young like you and you look old like me and I'm trying to talk with you. And I said, Chloe, I got to be honest with you. You're my second person I've ever interviewed and I've never even hired anybody. I'm 27 years old. I know I look like I'm 22, but I'm actually 27. I've got imposter syndrome and I'm a really sweet person. And I promise I'll be nice to you and treat you well, but I've got fears that you won't respect me, that you'll walk all over me and I'll have to fire you and I will, and that would suck. So I just, maybe this is too real. And maybe, and if you're like, holy crap, this chick's a basket case, I don't want to work with her. Great. This is a good, there's a good opportunity for you to run for the hills. Or maybe you go, holy crap, I'm looking for exact, wow, what a great leader that's being so transparent. And you know what I'm saying? Like, does that kind of give you permission to just go, yeah, that's where we're at. And maybe they do take advantage of you. Maybe you have to fire them. That's where you got to go. And that's the price I'm willing to pay. It's uncomfortable. It's this, it's that, it's out of my comfort zone. Well, there you go. So the alternative is, okay, go clean toilets until you get sick of it and do something different. Okay. So are you cool with that being kind of internal and setting the game so you can win? So if the rules are, you have to be a hard ass, you have to be really good at your job, you have to be a hardened owner that knows how to hire and fire and that everybody respects. And if that, when you're that, then you can get out of cleaning. Well, if that's the rules, girl, quit. Like that's the, you know, yeah, but you made up those rules. They're not even real rules. You just made them up yourself and they're terrible rules. If we're making up rules, let's make up rules. Like I'm sweet, I'm kind, I've got a great smile. People tend to like me right off the bat. And I'm going to attract some amazing human beings.
Why not? Which is what I like.
And it's truth, right? So I made up both of those scenarios and they both sounded reasonable. Why pick the psycho one that stops in front of your goals? Why not just choose the story that's going to empower you?
And that's actually fair.
Because of all that niceness, I'm going to get screwed sometimes. Okie dokie. There you go.
That's fair, actually.
Yeah. She sounds surprised. She's like, oh my God, this coaching crap works. So the second and third pieces are really more of the same. So let's just go with bad employees, right? If you're my client and I'm like, hey, Chloe, I know you're used to me coming and I love being here and I love you, but I don't want to clean anymore. I have a business. I'm going to hire people and I'll do my best. I'm going to vet them. I'm going to interview them. I'm going to train them. I'll do everything I can to make sure they're amazing human beings. But at the end of the day, someone's going to screw up somewhere and do something crazy. God forbid it'll be in your house, but it might be. I can't promise you, honestly, that's not the case. I can promise you I'll make it right. I'll always treat you honestly. If someone does something, I'll fix it. I'll fire them or whatever I do, I'm going to make it right. I'm never going to leave you in lurch. But that's the deal. And if you're like, no, I just want a person that's the thing, and I don't care if they break their wrist and they can't come for 2 weeks, or that's what I want, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not going to be that anymore. So that would be where we're going to part friends. Does that give you the space to hire people and trust that and do your best to train them and vet them and do everything you know how to do? And when, not if, when they do something crazy, you're like, can you now tolerate that?
I think so. Yeah, actually. I mean, it would probably attract the right people, definitely, because I don't want somebody that I have to be fake with all the time. That's not fun either. That's just super stressful for nothing. And yeah, I mean, essentially, I'd like other people like me being in people's houses. That's my brand. That's how we roll. We care, you know, so that's kind of what I'd like. So makes sense. Makes a lot of sense what you're saying.
Okay. So the cool thing is, hopefully you're seeing a pattern of A, identifying the roadblocks, B, pulling out the stories associated with those roadblocks. I can't work with COVID because I'm going to go broke because everyone's broke. That's one story. I have a different story. We've been coaching for 7 years. So way before COVID and up until now. And we have found, we coach in Canada, America, all the states, Australia, like varying states of lockdown, has nothing to do with the state they're in. It has everything to do with the human being behind the business. So I got that belief, which is true. I don't know. One's effective. one works. The other one is ineffective. So identifying the roadblocks, identifying that most of those roadblocks are internal, and the external, you can still get help from, right? I don't want to be, but then educate yourself, for God's sake. Read a book, subscribe to a podcast, pay a coach. Like, come on now, it's 2021. It's like, you got the Googles out there, right? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And then internal stuff, we just need to work through. And the last thing is, I got to step out of my comfort zone. So again, it's like, well, if stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, I'd set boundaries. Like if you're like, hey, Mike, I want in your coaching program, I go, here's the deal. I'll never ask you to lie, cheat, or steal, or break the law, or do anything that hurts another human or anything weird like that. But that's it. There are no other rules. Anything else I ask you to do, or one of our team asks you to do, you got to do it. No, you don't have to, but if you want to get results, you got to do it. And you're an adult woman, do whatever the hell you want. That's why you charge a lot. So I know you'll do what I ask because I have your money. So I need to get results, right? So, and that would be the deal we'd make. And if you're like, I don't trust you that well, Mike, I'm not that committed. If you ask me to, and again, legal, ethical, moral, only kind to other people, nothing gross or weird or that you'd feel, you know, objectionable to. But with that rule going, whatever we ask you to do, and for some things I'm going to ask other people to do, you go, that's dumb. Why are they so freaked out about that? And then I'll ask you to do something and you're freaking out. They look at you at the same thing. So obviously if you're going to work with a coach, you need that agreement. If you're going to do it on your own, you need to have that agreement with yourself. Like, Chloe, this is going to cost me doing scary stuff. I won't lie or cheat or steal, whatever you make up your own rules. For me, it would be legal, ethical, moral, and helping other humans, not hurting them. So you'd have to make your rules of, I don't care how much it costs, that I won't pay, right? I'm not going to lie, cheat, or steal, or hurt somebody. But other than that, I'll pay whatever the cost. And when you kind of set it like that, like, if I have to crawl through broken glass, fine, I'll do that. If I have to work 100 hours a week, fine. You don't do either of these things. But you saying, if that's the cost, I'll do it. And you settle that in your heart. And then you come to, I'm going to have to do a group interview and I don't feel qualified. Okay. I've already pre-committed. I'm going to do it. So I think a lot of it's just setting the rules for what I'm willing to do, what's real, what's not real. All right. That's probably the best I can give you in the time that we have. Questions, comments, anything else you need before we call it a day?
No, I think that's pretty good. Actually, that's helped a lot.
I love when people come on to be coached and they get coached like, wow, that was actually good. I was thinking you were going to curse and make fun of Canadian. I didn't realize this was going to help. The shock is always the fun part. All right, Nation, hopefully this is helpful. It's a little bit of a different, feel free to reach out and let us know if you like most of the time it's just more me coaching broad as opposed to being specific with Chloe. Let me know if that's something you dig or not dig or, whatever. If you want any negative Canadian remarks, please bring them. even Canadians, self-hating Canadians, you're welcome too. Other than that, if you're like, holy heck, I need more, but I want some more tactical stuff or whatever, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got over 700 podcasts. I've written 2 books. There's a Facebook group with over 15,000 members. I would start with the on-demand training. It's the best 40 minutes we've got. Tight. There's like 5 shifts you need to make. It's all Grow My Cleaning Company, all free. Check it out now. See you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.